Listen.
Oh, my God.
Listen to this.
With Cliff and Sharon.
I don't believe this.
Number five.
Gift cards. Do you ever buy yourself a gift card? I see these gift cards on checkout counters all the time, and I always think, it just seems to me to feel like I just couldn't put enough thought into buying you something special. Here's an iTunes gift card.
Right, or Home Depot, right? Or Starbucks, or whatever it is. I know, look, I think gift cards are a great idea, especially, you know, if you've got friends maybe who are a young couple or something, and you know they're remodeling their house. And I think a Home Depot card, you know, or home improvement card of some sort is a great idea. But I think when you just go, yeah, here's a $20 Starbucks gift card, you're right, it hasn't had a lot of thought put into it. Do you ever buy yourself one? No, I never have. Although when you look at them, sometimes it's, you know, you pay X amount and you get X amount extra. It kind of makes sense. Like if you, let's say it was a Starbucks one and it was pay $25 and you get $30 worth of credit. Well, I guess buying yourself one makes sense, right? Because you're getting a free $5.
Well, sure. Or you could just get the app on your phone and keep reloading it. I know a lot of people that do that. Now, I looked this up. Now, take a wild guess at how much money goes unused on gift cards in the U.S. alone every single year.
So people go and buy them, and then they just don't get used. They're sitting in people's drawers or wallets or whatever.
They forget about it, they lose it, or they don't use the entire balance.
Or it's got to be millions, right? If I put a B in front, would it be too much?
No.
It's more than $1 billion.
It's typically around $1 billion every year.
Oh, my God. You know, retailers must love gift cards for that reason because, you know, I go in to, say, Starbucks or whatever, and I buy a $100 gift card for somebody, and then it never gets used. They've got their money, but it never gets traded out for a product or a service.
Oh, it's a growth industry. These guys are making a ton of money, and it's just sitting there.
Is there a way we could develop a Cliff and Sharon gift card? What would we offer? We don't have much to offer, really, but it's pretty flimsy what we've got. But you're right. We need to figure out a way to come up with a Cliff and Sharon gift card and then just hope nobody wants to use it because we've got nothing to offer.
Yeah.
That's my job, to find out what goes on and get it to the people.
Listen to this with Cliff and Sharon.
What people?
The people.
I never heard of them.
Number four.
Lindell is from Dallas. He's 85 years old, doesn't get around very well much anymore. He has a cane. Get this story now. There's a 22-year-old woman and her friend driving past his house on Sunday. They took a turn too fast, flipped their car, lands in his driveway, bursts into flames, and they're both trapped inside.
Oh, and so Lindell, because he's, you know, suffers from a disability, he doesn't get around too well, he's 85, he's got a caretaker, so she ran off to call 911, and he, you know, goes outside with his walking stick, and here's Lindell actually telling what happened next.
Car landed right here, and that's where it burned up, right here. I got my walking stick and pulled it out. Seen this woman's hand sticking out, and I got her and pulled her out.
Oh, so he managed actually to get both the women out of the car, and someone asked him, I think it was a local news crew or something, asked him afterwards, so do you feel like a hero? This is what he said.
No, I just feel like an old man tried to save somebody's life. I'd do it again if I had to.
Oh, bless him. Both women in the car were seriously injured. They did survive, though. One of the firefighters who showed up afterwards says they probably wouldn't have made it if Lindell hadn't gotten to them as fast as he did. So, what a hero. You're never too old to be a hero.
No way.
Listen to this with Cliff and Sharon.
No freaking way, right?
Number three.
I remember one of my favorite stories where a wife and a husband both talk in their sleep. She loves auctions. His hobby was golf. And the other night during a deep sleep, the man yelled, four! And the wife also in a deep sleep, not missing a beat, yelled back, 450!
Oh, stop it. Oh, God, you're ridiculous, honestly.
I know. I'm sorry. Do you or Richard ever talked in your sleep?
Richard does from time to time. And I'll usually try and engage him if I can understand what he said, but it never works.
You actually have a conversation
with
him?
No, I've tried to. I've tried to answer back or something, but it never works. One time years ago, he woke me up and he's like, sweetheart, are you all right? It's just a dream. You're just having a bad dream. And I woke up and I went, what are you waking me? And he said, oh, you were crying in your sleep. And I said, and he said, you were like, uh-huh. And I said, I wasn't. And because he'd woken me straight out of the dream, I said, I wasn't crying. I was dreaming that I was trying to sing, or I was trying to sing along to something, Werewolves of London. Werewolves of London. And I was doing that, and the ooh bit was coming out like these pathetic little whimpers.
Oh, my God. Well, you know, talking in your sleep, I guess they've identified as it's actually a sleep disorder of some kind.
It is. Look, people, when you sleep talk, you talk during your sleep, you're not aware of it. It involves a lot of babbling. And it usually happens when people are in the early stages of sleep, and it's easier to understand them then as well. The National Sleep Foundation says that stress, depression, daytime drowsiness, alcohol and fever are the most common reasons for sleep talking. And if you ever think that you're hoping, you know, the person you're sleeping with may divulge deep, dark secrets, or that you might be able to get them to share something juicy, don't even try, because there is no research to show that sleep talking will give you a window to their subconscious. It's usually just a bunch of nonsense, like this guy. What's his name? Adam Rosenberg, who is a sleep talker, and he recorded himself sleep talking, and we edited some of the bits together, and this is him actually sleep talking over the course of, I don't know, a week or something.
That's where all my farts go.
Honey. Whoa, bikes.
Actually.
Strength? Warrior strength?
Yeah. That's true, bro.
Big boy? Like big. Huge.
I can't believe it.
Oh! Okay. We probably didn't need to hear that.
Listen to this with Cliff and Sharon. For more, like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Number two.
Hey, since emojis have become such an important part of communication in our lives, I guess we should really kind of keep up on what's popular, right? And you don't send me a lot of emojis. I tend to send you a lot of emojis.
You're big on the thumbs up and the wine glass.
Yeah,
like
thumbs
truly.
Up, the wine glass and the fist bump are probably the top three.
Yeah, they're your top three that you use. Yeah, I don't really use emoji too much. Part of it is, and this is maybe dopey, you've got an iPhone, I've got the Samsung, and I receive your emoji, but whenever I send emoji to someone with an iPhone, they come out as question marks.
That's right.
Right?
That's true. I don't get yours.
Yeah, that's right. So that's why. But a big new study by the University of Michigan just figured out the most popular emoji in the world is that sort of laughing one, the tears of joy, or laughing with the tears spurting out of the corners of the eyes.
I can see that.
It's the most popular in the world. It's the most popular, certainly, in the US. In fact, it's so popular that we use that one nearly three times more than in any other emoji.
How about the pile of poop? Does the pile of poop make the list anywhere?
I don't think the pile of poop. No, the rest of the real faces, the most popular ones. The rest of the five most popular emojis in the US are the kissing face that has the heart right next to the mouth.
Yeah, okay.
The face with hearts for eyes.
Yeah, my daughter sends me that sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. That's when she wants something.
Exactly.
Am I right?
Boy, you've got her nailed. Yes.
She's 14, you know.
yeah.
The face that's smiling and blushing, and the red heart. They're the most popular. The study also found that about 9% of all the texts we send contain at least one emoji, and women are twice as likely to use them as men.
That's interesting. Boy, it's funny. You nailed my daughter, because it'll be followed with daddy. I always get daddy before a question.
Oh, daddy. Can we please, daddy?
Yep.
Can I please have daddy? I love you.
Listen to this with Cliff and Sharon, the other side of the news.
Number one.
You know, I think I'm at the point in my relationship with my wife, Lisa, where she just pretty much has given up. I mean, now she leaves me little notes of things like empty dishwasher, all the things that I know at some point she probably asked me to do as a favor, because we trade off on stuff like that. But for whatever reason, I didn't hear, or I wasn't listening. And well, I know you guys probably have the same thing.
Well, right? it's not didn't hear. It's actually listening. And you and I'll go crook at you, not usually on the air, but but I'll go crook at you from time to time. Because you don't listen, you don't pay attention. And it's just, I don't know what it is with men.
I'll tell you what it is. It's we compartmentalize. So I'll tell you what, I'm watching television, I'm zoned out, and my wife will say something to me, my daughter will say something to me, and I honestly didn't hear what they said because I'm so focused on The Walking Dead.
Yes, I can understand in that scenario, but that's not every time. That's not every time. But I can't tell you how many times my husband Richard will ask me the same question over again. When are we going to whatever? What time are we supposed to be? Whatever, whatever. Who's coming again? And I'm like, God, I've told you this like a gazillion times already.
Same thing.
Right?
Yep, yep. But it's you complete us.
No, shut up. It's not even that. Because, you know, when you ask a question and you're wanting the information and I've already told you once, why do you have to ask me three more times? That's not a matter of being in the zone on anything else. You wanted to know and I told you and you didn't retain it. You weren't listening properly. Yesterday, I'll tell you what happened. He was headed out the door. He was just going to run down the street and run an errand. And I was working and he said, okay, I'm just going to go out and do this. And I said, okay, sweetheart, I love you. And he goes, no worries. And I went, what? No worries. I said, did you even hear what I just said? And he said, yeah, you said, see you later. And I went, no, I said, I love you. So, and since when did no worries become an acceptable reply?
Because it's a generic reply. It covers all matters of things except I love you.
No, you can't. If you're in a relationship like that and somebody says, I love you, you don't say no worries. It was just like, right then, it was like you weren't listening at all. You were just totally fixated on getting out the door and doing whatever you were going to do. But it just killed me. Yes.
Listen to this.
With Cliff and Sharon. Subscribe to the podcast on Audioboom, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Pocket Cast, and iTunes. This has been a Bytes.com production.